My name is Tina Chang. I'm partner here at Associate Capital, soon to be Fifth Space. You all will receive a more formal announcement about that soon, so stay tuned. It is my privilege to serve as your MC today, and I promise to keep things brief so we can get to the main event. But first, I'd like to share a few words about why today is so special to me. Throughout my career, I've had the great honor of working on transformative projects, from master planning naval bases across the globe to advancing public-private partnerships to complete one of the most mixed-use corners in San Francisco. But I have to say that today, as we're about to welcome over 100 families to Power Station, stands amongst my proudest moments. We set out to create missing middle housing, housing for everyday heroes who help make the city function but who can no longer afford to be here. And we were able to do that due to the unwavering resolve of our team. And as a result of that resolve, we can welcome 6 families from the Homeless Prenatal Program to Power Station. This organization is dedicated to ending generational poverty. And so yes, today stands as a very proud moment for me and for all of us. You know, Power Station and the Sophie Maxwell Building are the result of shared determination, grit, and the belief that these 29 acres could one day become a thriving community, not just for families, but also for businesses and visitors alike. And we're able to do that not just because of the team at Associate Capital, but because of everyone here. None of this was achieved alone. So I have to say thank you to Sophie Maxwell and her leadership, to the community who walked with us every step of the way over these past 8 years. Thank you to the Dog Patch Neighborhood Association, to the Potrero Boosters, to the Dog Patch Potrero Merchants Association, the Green Benefits District. Thank you to the incredibly talented architects and designers who crafted every inch of the building behind me, to LMS Architects, Palazzo Projects, Jeff Schlarb, and Cheyenne Concepcion. Thank you to organized labor, Rudy at Building Trades Association, and our partners at Swinerton, DeSilva Gates, and Webcor. Thank you, of course, to our city partners, to the tireless efforts, and all of you who worked quietly when you could have said no. Thank you to OEWD, to our partners at the San Francisco Planning Department, to MoCD, to SFMTA, to SFPUC, and to all of your tireless efforts at the port. We're so grateful for you. I would be remiss if I didn't recognize our supervisor, Shimon Walton, who's D10's biggest cheerleader, and who reminds us every day to keep going. And of course, the financial wizards at JP Morgan. It's no accident that Power Station's first project is a workforce housing building, a symbol of inclusion and opportunity, because this is what we're all about. We're about creating attainable yet aspirational futures for the people of San Francisco. And with that, I want to welcome Enrique Landa, managing partner to our stage, whose title should actually be Chief Optimist Officer, not just for Power Station, but for the city. Ladies and gentlemen, Enrique Landa.
Hey, thank you all for being here. You know, some of you asked me why a marching band. It's a homecoming. That's it. And Burton High School welcomed us in style. But I'm going to tell you, it's for us, after 9 years of being here, that first moment that people are going to walk into this house, that moment you feel when you're moving somewhere new, that moment of possibility, that's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating a moment of opportunity for people that we don't normally build for. You know, when we set out to do this, people said we were nuts, and we might have been. But it's that missing middle that nobody builds for, that people said is impossible, that we just said, wait, how can we live in a city where you can't build for the middle? That doesn't make any sense. And so we took kind of the courage from someone who's sitting here today, who had the courage to say, you know, maybe San Francisco doesn't need a power plant. Maybe we could do something better with this land. A union electrician, a single mom, and just an absolute lightning bolt of a person who started the community process thinking something different here. And I can't imagine a better person to name this building for than Supervisor Sophie Maxwell. Sophie, what you did was more than close a power plant. You helped inspire a community to think we could do something better. And when we stepped here 9 years ago, the community welcomed us. There was people who said, sure, come, but we're doing this together. And you know what? We did that. Gosh, we did something like 150 events. We had 82,000 people here over a course of people. We listened. We fought. My friend Allison Heath is here. I learned something from her. We really proved that if you actually get consensus with community, the community will support you. And the thing about that is that that was the first step. That's the flywheel. So you get the community moving. But, you know, when you get this thing entitled and it's glorious day, the only thing that happens after that is, oops, there's a pandemic. And everything was going to stop. But that's when the city stepped up. And in normal times, there was this adversarial relationship between cities and developers, thinking that we couldn't all have nice things. And now that conversation's changing. The city really stepped up, starting with Supervisor Walton, who, when we tried to quit, basically said, don't you dare. Yep. You know, he's become our life coach. Every time you think it's impossible, he reminds you it's different. And he tells you, see, I told you it'd be easy. It's not. But that started. But then there was those city agencies, everyone who's been named here, who took those small adjustments, that little change, that piece of legislation, those three little feet that way, an extra driveway, whatever you called it. But those city partners made it happen at a very difficult period. The flywheel kept going. And then what do you get? Well, turns out people say you can't get money for missing middle housing. The question we asked is why not? Sure, San Francisco lost two banks, and it was almost impossible. But this brave character, J.P. Morgan, who says, I don't show up at these things, showed and said and spent 18 months figuring out how to finance this building. And this building was financed in a way people didn't think was possible. Thanks to that, we got this. So thank you. But it's partnerships with other capital, too. You know, PG&E was on this site for over 100 years. They were founded here. And they had a rough couple of years, too. And they could have quit, but they didn't. They actually kept cleaning, partnering with us to remove 150 years of infrastructure and building the 150 years of infrastructure to come. So one day, buildings like this, the cancer center that's built across the street, and this amazing park that's going to open up there would happen. So I want to say thank you to them, too. Thank you, PG&E. So that's what it takes. It's that flywheel of city, community, and then capital working together to keep moving. That cooperation that between the three of you, when you do that, creates the momentum that makes projects like this possible. You know, a lot of people say that San Francisco is in the midst of recovery. We're not. We're reinventing. And we're doing stuff like this. And we're showing people that when you build for the middle, when you build for the people that people say is impossible, you can motivate this to do this again and again. So I am thrilled that in about 2 weeks, 105 San Franciscans will call this place home. And what I'll be more thrilled about is that homecomings like this get welcomed over and over again. So thank you to everyone who's here. Thank you to my team that made this possible, the capital that believed in us, even when we said crazy things like marching bands and missing middle housing and all kinds of things. And the all of you who showed up today to support a project that really should not have been kept going over the past couple years. But when a city comes together and you get that flywheel moving, things don't stop. Thank you for being here. And you know, I get to introduce a cheerleader for the city that has really pushed this moment. And it's been a nice thing to see San Francisco getting reintroduced the last couple of months and watching the energy of our mayor, who's seemingly everywhere and thankfully here with us today, Mayor Lurie.
Thank you, Enrique. I appreciate it. Supervisor Maxwell, it was an honor walking through the building with you. And I learned a lot from you in that very moment. and that is essential housing, not affordable housing, essential housing. Until 2011, this area powered San Francisco, home to the Potrero Power Station. It generated a significant amount of our city's energy needs and fueled decades of innovation. But as we all know, that energy came at a cost. The power stations and this power station polluted this neighborhood. And for over 150 years, the waterfront we see today has been inaccessible to residents. That changes today. On behalf of the City and County of San Francisco, I am proud to announce the opening of the Sophie Maxwell Building, a 100% essential workforce housing community that begins a new chapter for this district. The building is designed with intention and care. It has parking for residents, free Wi-Fi, and a shared workspace. Its rooftop deck offers a full view of the waterfront. For the first time in more than a century, this neighborhood can step to the edge of the bay and call it home. Through a partnership with the Dogpatch YMCA, this space will also stay connected to the community that surrounds it. Most importantly, yeah, we can clap for that too, but most importantly, every home here is affordable. Each one represents stability for a family or for a San Franciscan who may otherwise have been priced out. When we open doors like these, we send a message to the people who make this city work, that you belong here, that your kids can grow up here, and that they can build a future in a place and a city that they love. Projects like this one here show what is possible. But we, as Enrique say, we need more than just a few projects. We need a city-wide strategy. And that is why I have introduced our family zoning plan, so we can make San Francisco affordable now and for generations to come. I'm sorry to get a little political, but this is a good moment to do it. We want to make it possible to build enough housing so that kids growing up here will be able to raise their own families here. We want firefighters, police officers, social workers, teachers, and nurses to live in the communities in which they serve. And that is what we are doing across the city, making it possible to build housing at all income levels while maintaining local control over how we grow. This building, Enrique, this building stands at the beginning of a larger transformation of the Potrero Power Station site. Over time, this area will grow into a neighborhood filled with homes, open spaces, and small businesses, a place full of life that once stood polluted. It's fitting that this new era begins with a building named for Supervisor Sophie Maxwell, who served District 10 for a decade. Your vision, Supervisor, your vision and your dedication to this district have inspired so many people. I want to thank you and everyone who worked to bring this project to life. This is just the beginning for this neighborhood. We will continue to build right here and bring this area to life. Let's keep building homes so working families can stay and thrive here in San Francisco, and let's continue to make this corner of San Francisco a place of renewal and pride. Thank you, and let's go San Francisco.
Thank you, Mayor Lurie. And now I'd like to bring on stage founder of the Homeless Prenatal Program, Martha Ryan.
Good morning, everybody. I'm honored to be here today on behalf of the Homeless Prenatal Program. For over 30 years, we have worked to end generational poverty, one family at a time, by supporting parents, especially mothers, as they build healthy, stable, and self-sufficient lives. Our mission is grounded in a simple but powerful belief. When parents thrive, children thrive. When children thrive, entire communities thrive. We bring life to this every day through housing, education, job training, and wraparound services that empower families to take charge of their future. But finding safe, affordable housing is really the most difficult part of the equation to attain. But today is truly an exciting day. The Sophie Maxwell Building is a perfect example of what's possible when public, private, and community partners come together with a shared goal and shared values. By setting aside permanent housing for homeless prenatal program families, this partner takes our mission to a new level. The homes will be prioritized for mothers who are pursuing education or workforce development, or workforce training. Women who are working hard, incredibly hard, to transform their lives to create better future for their children. And we all know a safe, stable place makes that transformation possible. Thanks to the leadership of Power Station, Enrique Landa, and your team, we're scaling what we know works, building communities where stability, opportunity, and hope can root and grow. We are thrilled to have 6 families from the Homeless Prenatal Program who will be among the first residents of this beautiful building. It's really a gift. For these families, it isn't just a key, it's a doorway to a new beginning. A home means safety, it means dignity. It means a child has a quiet place to study. It means a child has a safe place to grow and to dream. And beyond these 6 households, this moment represents a model, a vision of what is possible when we invest in families, in communities, and solutions that work. A heartfelt thanks to our partners, the visionary Enrique Landa. Oh, yeah, it's true, Enrique. And your team. Absolutely. No one does this alone. It is your team. But thank you. We also want to, they've mentioned all the city departments. Thanks to the city, to Supervisor Walton's office, and to all the incredible community organizations involved. Together, we're not just cutting a ribbon today, we're opening a door for families, for children, for generations to come. This project is a bold step towards breaking the cycle of family homelessness and creating a city where every parent and every child has the opportunity to thrive. And now it is my pleasure to introduce a tireless advocate for families, for housing, and for District 10. Please join me in welcoming Supervisor Shimon Walton.
Good morning. This is a testament to what collaboration and cooperation can do. As Enrique said earlier, we push to make sure that we get things done that are reflective and representative of what community wants. And then we say it was easy to do. But it is easy. It's easy when everyone does their job. When you first, as an elected official or someone who represents community, listens to community. It's easy when you, as a developer, come to a community and say you want to do what benefits that community. It's easy when local contractors and local workforce gets an opportunity to work on the job. It's easy when we all come together and say, yes, we can. Everybody talks about the obstacles to build in San Francisco, but we continue to build in District 10. This is the third all-affordable housing building we're opening in 2 months. So when people talk about the constraints of building, I say it's the fact that people don't want to work together to get things done. And your mayor mentioned today his upzoning plan. He got political here, so I can get political too. We build in District 10 without gimmicks and without false promises, because we know and understand that people actually want affordable housing. We know and understand that people want to make sure that San Francisco is a place where they can live and raise their children. And so I want to thank Associate Capital for listening when we said, in phase one of this development, there has to be affordable housing. I want to thank Associate Capital for understanding that this building needed to be named after someone with meaning, someone connected to this community, someone reflective of this community. And the fact that that person worked tirelessly to shut this power plant down, to make sure that this space was livable, this namesake is well deserved. Thank you, Supervisor Maxwell. And so this is obviously step one on what's going to be an amazing space here at the power station, with the medical facility on the way, with more housing on the way, with brand new parks, YMCA, and things that community asks for. Because when you're in this role, President Mandelman, and thank you for being here, when you're in this role, Mr. Mayor, your first job is to listen to the people you represent and not impose things on people, but listen to what people want and actually deliver on that. This all 100% affordable housing building right here, named after Supervisor Sophie Maxwell, does just that. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all so much for your support. And we will continue to build in District 10 because that's what we do.
And now I'd like to bring on stage the visionary who made all of this possible, Ms. Sophie Maxwell.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. A lot of you are going to hear something that I say all the time, and that's about collective leadership, collective determination, collective vision. That's what you see here. That's what this building represents. That's what all of this represents. It takes a vision, and I want to thank the Associate Capital for your vision, and I want to thank you for coming in from the ground, knowing that you were coming into a community, something that was already there, that you wanted to be a part of. And that's important. And that's why those people, Dog Patch, Patrol Hill, Bayview, they're still here. They come to all those meetings, even though they don't feel like it, and they think, oh my God, not another meeting, but they go
Because if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. Okay? If you're not at the table, you are on the menu. And that's why this power plant was so important. Because people from Bayview, people from Potrero, said, wait a minute, they wanted to build a bigger and better one. We said, no, not only are you not going to build it, the ones that are there are going to be gone. And of course, people thought, are you out of your mind? Well, it happened. And we had all those people to thank. Karen Pierce, who died just recently, was our in-house lawyer, environmental lawyer, and she worked tirelessly. Espinola Jackson, Marie Harrison, Dick Millett, John DeCastro, who is here, and thank you, John, for being here, and Joe Boss. All of those people were tireless. They worked, and we never gave up. But then something happened. It was district elections, and we had an opportunity to be at the table. We were no longer just on the menu. We were at the table. And then we had access to lawyers. Oh, and we had a little special thing. Our city lawyer lived a couple of blocks down the street, Dennis Herrera. This was his neighborhood. He lived in Dog Patch. Woo, who would have thought? But there he was. And then we got the PUC involved. And then from then on, we were just on a roll because we were at the table, no longer just on the menu. We had access to all of the resources of the city. And then we got the state. And then we went to FERC, and we went to, and my dear friend that who's very close to me, that's Aaron Peskin, he was with me all the way. He was with me all the way. We found ourselves with the California PUC in Oakland, and lawyers had drug us there. People went to Sacramento. We were all over the place, but we had one vision, and this is what collective leadership looks like. This is what it does. The shipyard was the same way. It was collective leadership, and that's housing, and it closed. It was all these people together, but this is what a city should be about. Cities should be about creating middle class, not just importing it. And when you create it, you have to have a place to start, all right? People have to have a place to start to go up to. San Francisco now is not like that. A junior five, people couldn't move, so they built onto the junior five. Now it's an 8 or 11. Well, that doesn't quite work. So we have to get down and understand who we are building for. We're building for essential people that we need, that bring the jazz, who bring the creativity and the color and the character and the vibrancy to San Francisco. And you talk about teachers. I'm a native San Franciscan, and I remember in the third grade, my mother came home and she said, you know, your teacher said that you're not reading at your level, but that she's going to get it. She's going to get you. So Mrs. Watson kept us after school, a group of us. You know, it seemed like forever then. But finally, I moved up to group one. And I could read, and I was reading everything. And years later, I saw Mrs. Watson on the In Judah. When I got on and I saw Mrs. Watson, I said, oh, there's Mrs. Watson. And I went up to her and I said, Mrs. Watson, you may not remember me, but you taught me how to read. You never gave up on me. Well, Mrs. Watson lived in the Outer Sunset. She lived in San Francisco. She didn't have to try to beat me out of the door because she had to get on the freeway to go to who knows where, beneath somewhere out of the city. But she was there, and she was invested and vested. And I was so, I cannot tell you how good it made me feel to be able to thank her. And that's what community, that's what cities are about. That's what makes people want to be here. That's what makes people want to come. That is what does it. And I was just, over the weekend, my friend Gloria and I were at Fort Point, which is underneath the Golden Gate Bridge. We went inside this little theater, and we saw this short that Bethlehem Steel had put out about the building of the bridge. And people said, oh, no, 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 that can't be done. I mean, the tide, the water, the this, the that, one thing after another. But there was a community. There was champions. And they said, not only are you going to build this bridge, but you're not going to move that fort. And you're going to build this big bridge around Little Fort Point. And if you go there, it's built around the fort. And that's because there was a community. The power of community, the strength of community is right in front of you, is right here. That's the power. And if you get away from that power, if you don't understand that power, and Shimon, you do, that's when you kind of lose. Because people are going to be on you all the time. But if you connect, then you've got a chance. You've got a chance to stay. But it's the power of community, and you have to be vigilant. Because you think you've got something done and won and understanding, and all of a sudden it blows up. But when you have community, and those of you who are aspiring to be supervisors, to be, let me say it, in the public servants, those of you who are aspiring to be public servants in the form of a supervisor, you have to stay connected. You have to be vigilant. You have to do that, or things go awry and you have yourself recalled, or you have yourself having to undo Valencia Street because you did not connect with the people. You have to connect. You have to understand that this is what makes San Francisco. If we didn't, we'd be just like anybody else, you know? And so this building represents, and I have to make a shout to one of my most favorite people in the world, and that's Greg Assay. He was my aide, and Greg lived and he breathed. He would go on vacation and come back and say, Sophie, you know what? I thought about something. Or he would wake up, he'd come in the office, you know, the reporters might ask you this. Maybe we should talk about it. That was Greg Assay. And I want to thank him for being here, and I want him to know that he's always in my heart, and I always think about him. And many of you, John DeCastro and people, those are people that make it work. And thank, again, I want to thank the people of Patrol Hill and Dog Patch for hanging in there. Because you hanging in there and making it work and understanding your civic duty. And that's to be here. So, again, I want to thank you all. I tried to time it like 3 minutes. I hope I didn't go too. But anyway, thank you all. Thank you very much for being here. And hang in there. And this is one of the most beautiful cities you have ever been in. If you go anywhere, you come back. And this is a beautiful city. I ride my bike on Saturday mornings with my partner, and we say, whoa, we live here. We live in this beautiful place. And I have always felt safe, and I have always felt sound in my city. You know, always. And so I think those people who don't, they need to go within because something else is going on with them, okay? Something else is going on with them. But at any rate, I love you all, and I'm going to leave you with one other thing. It's about love. Don't be afraid to say it. It really is about love. Loving where you are, loving who you are, the people next to you, and wanting them to be okay. It's about love. So thank you, and love.